Hello and welcome to a special production from In the Money Media. This is Racing with Roman, Season 2, Episode 7. PTF back with you in London. I've come down from Cheltenham. Thanks to everybody who sent the messages about the shows we did from up there this week. But back in Cheltenham for a lazy Sunday of betting American racing. And very happy to kick it off by bringing in a man who has done a great job on these shows, providing winners, giving insight into his views based on his time in the game as a gambler and an owner. He is Larry Roman. What's up, Larry?
How are you, Peter? What are you doing? You're there in London?
Indeed. I was here last week for the Cheltenham Racing Festival, which is jump racing. I'm pretty sure you never owned a jump horse, but jump racing, huge over here and in Ireland. And now the family is coming over. Perrin, my daughter, is on a two-week school break, so we're going to use London as a home base. I'm still going to be working, doing podcasts, making YouTube videos, but we'll have a chance to do some fun theater and cultural things as well. I assume you've been to London in the past.
Oh, I've been to London, jolly old London, many times. It's a wonderful place. I love it very, very much. I'm jealous. I hate those plane flights for 7 hours. But in another few years, they're going to have a plane that gets there in like 2.5 hours, and I'll be there every weekend because that's how much I love that place.
That's fantastic. You ever gone racing over here?
I've been to the tracks there. The first time I was there, they said the horses are in the stretch, and I'm looking one way, and the other way.
You're looking so left. They're coming right.
Yeah, right. So, but it's great. Everything in London's great. The food's great. The people are great. So I'm jealous. But fortunately for me, I'm in Florida, South Florida, and it's beautiful here. Everybody's on the beach, so I'm not going to complain.
Your weather is better than mine. There's no doubt about that.
Well, okay. Let's get to the races because I have to get to the racetrack.
God, I know you had a couple other things you want to talk about before we dive into the specifics of Gulfstream today, though, Larry. Specifically, you have a horse. I know that you're trying to decide where the horse should go. Let's talk. You mind talking about that for a minute before we dive in?
No, I'd like to. I think it's an interesting thing, and it's part of the things and issues or things you have to deal with and try to use logic. Most of the time you're wrong. You should just take the simple road. But we have a horse, Quality Chic, who's he's the best horse in the barn right now for me. He's lost $250,000 stakes races in New York by a nose.
Yep.
Well, I haven't been lucky, but I've had a lot of excitement watching the races. So that's good. So now we have him in Thursday at Aqueduct in a race where I believe he'd be, around 6-5 or so. I'm pretty sure in that area. Seven horse field. One of the other horses is my horse, Laughing Boy.
Yep.
So it's a really good spot for him. But then I look and, Saturday at Oaklawn, there's the Essex, which is a grade three going for $600,000. I mean, it's just amazing the money they give away out in Oaklawn. So, we were thinking about racing there. There's no great horses in the race, but there are some very nice horses, in the race. And, of course, do I know who's getting in or not? We're trying to assess that. And then the following week, there's a mile and a half race at Oaklawn for $200,000 called the Temperance Hill.
Sure.
If you recall, Theodora used to have a horse that would race in those races and he'd win every race, year after year. And of course it'll be a much easier field than the Essex. So my question is, do we race for the 88,000 where we're the favorite? Do we go for the Gusto in the Essex where we'll probably be 10-1 or more? Or do we go to the Temperance Hill for 200,000? Without knowing the field, I think we'd be, close to a favorite. And those are the things that, I'm discussing with Dave. We talked about it last night, and we'll just have to see and make a decision on it.
You guys know way more than me. Yeah, you know way more than me on this. I mean, my temptation would be to run where you're the shorter price, if only because, it's just – you're in this game for many reasons, but it's not your job, right? I mean, you're in this game to have fun, and you're an owner, and, you know, being in the winner's circle, it's, like, worth more than the purse, I would assume, if I were you. You know, from a strictly dollars and cents point of view, taking the shot, you know, the value of the run in a race like the Essex with that giant purse, I could see the logic for it, but, you know... The other question I'd ask, I mean, really, at the end of the day, probably what I would tell you to do is do what Jacobson, who trains the horse, wants to do. But, you know, I don't, as great as he is and the success he's had around New York, am I wrong? I mean, what is his record at Oaklawn? I mean, how has he done when he ships in there? It's not an easy ship, is it?
No, it's not an easy ship. It costs a fortune to ship the horse to. And, you know, again, a lot would depend upon who's going to be in there. And I noticed Deodoro had a horse that ran a 99 buyer. It was also a horse that I actually first looked at called Heroic Move. And he had him eligible, and he's racing him today instead, which means, because Deodoro's a very smart guy, he smelled something that there's going to be some good horses in there. That's just my guess. You know, I'm just, I could call him, but I don't. You know, we're competitors in that way. You know,
right.
It's funny, it's in the game. You got the people, you may love them now when they're training for you, but when they're against you, they're your enemy. So that's the way it goes. I'm one of a few people with, you know, I have 3-4 trainers. There are a lot of owners there that also, Sandy Goldfarb has like 8 trainers. Every time I look around, he's got a different trainer, and same thing with Mike Hubb and a few of the other guys. So so that was tipping me off a little bit. What I'd like to do is race him in New York and see how he comes out, see how he runs. It's a mile and an eighth race. And then if he comes out good, you know, ship him for the Temperance Hill days later. And, you know, if he's sound and everything and it's a good spot for him, you know, go for that, because I think he – this horse can run all day. You know, even though he lost at the end by a nose, you know, with the lead, he's really not a horse that wants to be on the front end. He likes a target. So that's what we're thinking of doing. We'll see how it turns out. I'll quickly turn to race today 5 at Aqueduct, just quickly.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I know you have a runner in there.
Yeah, I have a horse named South Street. Now, why did I claim him? Because I'm a freak for breeding, and the horse is a quality road out of a Bernardini mare. Pam and Martin Wygott bred this horse in Kentucky, so obviously they thought he'd be a good horse, and now he's a 5-year-old with 1 win and 20 starts. But I've watched his races, and he's come second 3 times, very close. He makes moves. You think he's going to win, and he's just hangs a little bit. So I said, let's take a shot with this horse. We claimed him. He's sound. There's no issues with him. We're stepping him up from a 16 to a 25,000 claimer. He's 4-1 in the morning line. So, and it's really important. You know, when I give out a horse, I look at the morning line. Now, 4-1, I'm betting. 3-1, probably. Anything less, I'm not betting him. So, it's really about value in betting. That's the only way you can win in gambling, is when you have value on your side. There's a horse in there, Barnstorming, Linda Rice, now Adam Rice. I assume they're related somehow. That horse was 6-5 and was bad his last start. But before that, ran a great race against a horse named Reddington, who just finished second by a half a length. Finished 3rd against a horse named Reddington, who just sold in the sale for $70,000. I did law professional, put him in a sale. We bid on him for $230,000. Who knows? I said, yeah, me. So I don't hold it. It's the way this game goes. If people claim from me, I thank you. And if I claim from you, don't get insulted. I'm just thinking your horse is money.
Yep.
It's never personal. It's only a business thing that I deal with on that. So anyway, getting back to this race, he put the blinkers on. The horse is sound. 3-1 or more, I'm betting the horse. And we'll see. I when they take blinkers, when they put blinkers on, the horse usually goes for the lead. Is that right?
Yeah, they definitely show more speed typically.
I don't want him going for the lead, but I'm not riding him. I'm not telling him what to do. I'd like to see the horse get away about third, come to the outside, and I'll take my chances from there. So that's what we have over at Acura. Now let's take a look over at Gulfstream.
Yeah, I was curious that the first race you picked, Larry, is a synthetic race. We haven't talked about a lot of synthetic races on the show, but it is a straight maiden for three-year-olds. What is it about this race that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I love three-year-olds this time of the year. You know, cultural geldings, obviously. I think they're exciting to see who's going to develop. You know, they're just at that point where they're developing racehorses. So I thought this was, it's not the greatest card in the world, to be frank, but I think it's an interesting race. I look at the three horse Quest. You got Robert and Luana Lowe, and Rapoli Stables. I didn't even know they worked together. But that horse is just they paid $775,000 for an Into Mischief at a Medaglia d'Or. So how good is this horse going to be? We'll see. It's got a rad, Todd Pletcher. So we'll watch the board on that. The four horse Chase Four White is first start. I like these Pacheros. I don't know about you, but
yeah,
they really show something. So he wasn't great his first start, but he did run okay. He's going an extra half furlong. I think he's got a shot at a decent price. I'm going to use him. And then, then you got the nine horse there that's always battling, but he always loses. He's a little cheap, so I think he's going to be in the mix, but I'll say it right. He's not going to win, but he's going to give a good fight. And the interesting horse is on the outside. Oh, well, we've got helicopters coming through. on the outside is the horse called Every 4 Years, which I assume goes to the election. The size Constitution, so that means that it's about the election, which is coming up. And then, I see Michael Dubb and Michael Caruso over here with this horse. They put him in for $50,000. Now, I'm surprised they put him in for $50,000. I mean, they only paid $50,000, but he's went from Christophe Clement to Michael Baker. His first start, he was 4-5. So they thought a lot of them in a maiden special weight. Now he's been off for, 7-8 months. And I think you got to use him. I think he might just be a lot better than he showed there. So it's an interesting race. I'm leaning towards the three horse because of the breeding, the money they paid for him, the combination. But I think it's a really interesting race. What say you?
I probably would pick the nine runner just because, as you pointed out, this East Boston Benny has shown speed and toughness. I agree, probably a little cheap compared to some of these. But, on the synthetic going 5.5, speed might tell. And, I think you're absolutely right that the three Quester looks like the other one. Probably a horse you want to take money if is any good. And I think the link between the Lowe's and Mike Rapoli is the bloodstock agent, Jacob West, who's been picking out good horses for the Lowe's for many years and is also part of that the sort of three-headed, at least, monster bloodstock advisory committee of Mike Rapoli now. So this might be one that they all decided to get together on. It does seem a little weird in a way, like, hey, we've spent all this money on a horse and we're debuting on the synth, but hey, the horse is protected and, there could be other things going on there. So, I'm not going to rule the horse out at all based on the unusual debut spot for such a high-priced purchase. I feel like you're circling around the right horses, Larry, but if you made me pick one, I'd probably pick the nine.
Okay. All right. That'll be – I mean, he's a game horse. I just see him getting beat at the wire.
I hear you. Maybe want to key around in vertical exotics and with whomever else you like in there. But, yeah, that's a horse that's going to be in the frame, right, just based on the toughness and the pace scenario.
Okay, let's get to the next one.
Next up, we go to the seventh race. We've got three-year-old maidens going six furlongs on the dirt. you know, this is a wide open 3-year-old group. Very curious who you like in here.
Okay, so, you know, again, a very nice, interesting 3-year-old race. 3-year-old males, I love them at this time of the year. I'm a sucker for them. So it's, you know, it's a tough race. I do like this fight. He had one start, practical, out of a Northerner Fleet man. You always want to bet them if they have Northerner Fleet on their damn side. It's an old sire, but those horses are game. He ran his first race in a 12-horse field. He was 76-1, and he finished second. Now, people say, well, you know, I'm not going to bet him as a favorite. Now, I don't know that he's going to be a favorite. I think you're going to get 4-1, and I think he has a really good chance here. Certainly the top two. The three horse is a horse, again, St. Elias. Ken Langone is back in here. Now, Ken Langone, I don't know if you've been watching TV. He's all over TV lately. He's 88 years old. The guy is sharp as a tack. Why he's in the racing game now buying these kind of horses, I don't know if he actually watches the races or not, but I think it's really exciting that he's there. I'm not really a big fan of Mattoli as a sire, but he's got Spikestown as the dam, so you would have gone right after the lead. But I don't think he's going to get that pitch, so I'm not going to go with it. The six horse, unequivocally, I don't know. Do you know this Tammy Boat, where she seems to have quite a few horses?
I've seen the name, but I don't know much about of the operation.
Yeah. All right, so this horse is 6-1 with Batch Plans riding. Been off for about 7 months, but the last race was a good one. Got getting better every start. I think this horse is going to be fighting right out there for the lead. And, you know, it's 6 furlongs, so it's a stretch out. People will look and say, well, he ran 6 furlongs and he stopped his last start. But that was 8-9 months ago. This horse is bred to be able to go 6 furlongs. I think that's a horse that you're going to get a really good price on. And then the 8 horse, you know, first time starter, Spikestown out of a Tappet mare. Brendan Walsh, I mean, obviously he's a really strong trainer. They paid $175,000, about average. You know, outside post, I think the horse has a chance. I think you have to use the horse, but I'm not really crazy for the horse, but I think the horse has a chance. What say you?
I like Mr. Skylight, the one you mentioned first, this two-runner for Riley Mott. I mean, it is weird in a way how not bet this horse was first time out at 75-1, but I'm just not too worried about it. I think all that means is they hadn't seen much at home. The horse wasn't terribly fit and still ran really well. I think coming back here, second start of the life, against a fairly modest group. And what I really hope is that you're right, that the 5-2 is maybe too many people will see, oh my gosh, 75-1, first time out. Maybe we can get all of that 5-2 or even 3-1 or so. But this looks like the best horse, and it should get a really good trip from drawn down at the inside. I have no problem rowing in with Mr. Skylight in race number 7.
Okay, that should be an interesting one. You know, it's kind of race where you're going to get value. It's not whoever it is. Favorite's going to be 5-2 or 3-1, whoever the favorite is. We'll see how they bet those first time starters. But I just love these 3-year-olds at this time of the year. It's really exciting.
Absolutely.
You know, before the real big races.
It's all up
come.
There. It's all upside from next- here for this group, for sure, going 6 furlongs. Right. Let's pivot to the last race we want to talk about on this show, race number 10. We've got an allowance race going 1 mile on the dirt. Field of 7 going postward, and we do have an important scratch here potentially in the form of number 4, Southern Dream. Well, I mean, I guess it was 20-1 in the morning line, but still, anytime it's a 7-horse field and one's out, it's worth noting. So we're left with this field of 6 going postward. Who's your preference in here? On the morning line, it's number 6, Full Screen, and number 1, Cape Trafalgar, ahead of the rest. Is that how you see it, or can we bring in something at a bigger price?
Well, No, I'm not taking Full Screen. I'm sorry, I'm not taking the horse. Was second and backed off a little bit in its last start. Been off for a few months, overbet because of a rat. Of course, the rat always beats me. I say that every time. I'm not betting the rat, and then he could be last. He'll split horses and beat me. So, but I'm still not using them. I think this is really a two-horse race, and it's the 1 and the 5. Now, why the 5? The 5's been off for over a year. He's a tappet, a point given mare. I was a big fan of point given. I love that horse. Never became a great sire, but I was a big fan of the horse as a horse. And you look at the races. I mean, his last race when the 23 horse was battling the entire way for a mile. 109-4, head to head, and just drew up. And now he's got Junior Alvarado instead of, I'm not aware of this Keen Scott jockey, but I know Alvarado knows how to ride. And Billy Mott, you know, we all know Billy Mott, Hall of Famer. I don't think he's putting this horse in here if this horse isn't ready to go. Cape Trafalgar is, I mean, he's a class horse. He's a fighting, hard-hitting horse, kind of horse I would love to own. I really would. I love to own this horse. But I think Arthur's Ride is a more classy horse than this, whereas Cape Trafalgar is a fighter. And you know he's going to be there and fight. But I'm going to take a shot and go with Arthur's Ride off the year and 2 months layoff, because this horse looks to me like a class horse.
I think it's hard to argue. I mean, very, very nice maiden win. Richard Kingscote's a rider from over here, actually. He's terrific, but, you know, certainly not known for his prowess on the dirt, a guy who grew up riding turf, etc. You're certainly not losing anything with Junior Alvarado in that spot. The one I'll mention, just to give a little bit of an alternative, I think you're probably right on the most likely winners. I don't hate the idea, Larry, of trying to get Noble Drama second or third in trifectas to the horses you mentioned, only because this is a closer. This is a horse, you know, being tested for class here for sure, but at the same time, finishes his races. This gutsy 9-year-old with 10 wins in 45 starts. I wouldn't be surprised to see him outrun his odds and run second or third to one of the more fancied horses. That might be my sort of token way of playing this, but, you know, I think you've definitely circled around the likely winners in this spot.
Okay. I respect your opinion, but Noble Drama, he ain't going to be there.
No, I don't think he can win. I don't necessarily think he can win, but you don't think he can run. He can surely run third.
He's not going to be top three. He's going to be way back. He'll make a token close at the end, and maybe he can get fifth. Good luck. Good luck. I'm just telling you the truth.
No, I like it. We'll see.
He's a 25 claimer against these horses you couldn't buy for $100,000.
He's the only one who really wants to run late, though. So I think he can pass some tired horses and get in the, you know, second or third. That's all I'm saying. I'm not betting the horse to win against some of these. But okay. We'll see how it plays out in a
few hours.
I'll
tell you what. For $5, I'll bet you even money he's last.
Ooh, I love that. I mean, that's great value for me. I'll do it, and we'll settle in the form of a beer when we get to next see each other. How's that sound?
A Coke. I don't drink beer.
Coffee, beer, seltzer, whatever your pleasure.
Hey, Pete, it's been wonderful talking to you. I want you to enjoy your trip in London when your family comes. I'm heading over to the racetrack now. And thanks again, and we'll be talking next week.
Let's do it again next week, my friend. For Larry Roman, I'm Peter Thomas Fornatale. May you win all your photos.
Thank you, buddy.